Thank you all for joining us today. My name is Reva Winkler. I am a project consultant here at NQF. I am a physician, though I retired from clinical practice in obstetrics and gynecology almost 10 years ago now. I am in a UCLA is my alma mater, Dr. Nissenson. So my role in this project is the senior advisor. I have been a project manager here at NQF for about 9 years now, and so have a lot of the historical memory around NQF. The project staff for this project, you've been in contact with at various times. Alexis Foreman is our project director, and you hear from her on email regularly. She's actually going to be running the slides for us today. And you've heard a bit from Emma Nochimovitz, and she also has been sending out emails to you. So we're the project team organizing this. The purpose of today's call is to really orient this group around what NQF is doing these days. Some of you are relatively new to NQF. Some of you have worked with us in the past, but maybe not for a while, and a lot of things have evolved and changed around NQF. So we want to bring you up to date on where we are. Specifically, information about what this project is all about, the project goals, and the roles of this particular committee, and what we're hoping to have you help us with as we go forward. So it's mostly an informational and orientation call, but it's always casual. I just want to remind everybody that we do record these calls, and the recording is posted on the NQF website. So this is for maximum transparency in all of the project work that we do. So just please be aware that you are being recorded. So I think the first thing we want to do is introduce everybody. Dr. Greenfield has sort of given me the chair today, since it is mostly orientation. So I'd just like a chance for everybody to introduce themselves, talk about their background, and then disclose any interests you may have around measures, particularly development of measures, or any of the measures that could potentially come through this particular project. So I guess let's start with Dr. Greenfield.
Okay, I'm Shelley Greenfield. I have no disclosures. I'm a general internist, but I have a great interest in diabetes. And in the past, a long time ago, I used to work a little bit in chronic kidney disease, mainly with respect to comorbidity assessment. And I was head of the National Diabetes Quality Alliance, and I've been also working with NCQA on the Provider Recognition Program. So that's me.
Thank you. And Dr. Greenfield is the chair of this committee, and as such, he sits on the main project steering committee. And we'll talk a little bit more about how the whole project is organized around that. Next is Dr. Campbell.
Yes, I'm Keith Campbell, and I'm a distinguished professor in diabetes care and pharmacotherapy at Washington State University. And I've been on the board of ADA, and I was one of the founding members of the American Association of Diabetes Educators. I've had diabetes for 60 years, and I've been on an insulin pump 31 years, and I've been an advisor to the Center for Disease Control, and at one time on the endocrine panel of the FDA.
Great. All right, thank you. Any disclosures around measures?
No.
All right, thank you. Did Dr. Stephen Fadum join us? No. Okay. How about Dr. Karen Fitzner? Dr. Carol Motz Headley? I'm not sure. Dr. Hellman, Richard, it's your turn.
Thank you. I'm a practicing endocrinologist. I'm a member of the executive committee of the PCPI, and have been for since its inception, just about, or it seems that long. I'm part of the diabetes panel for the NCQA PCPI project, and I'm a past president of the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, clinical professor of medicine at UMKC School of Medicine, and looking forward to working with all of you.
Richard, this is Shelley. Were you at the last NCQA PCPI meeting?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Dr. Nissenson?
I'm Alan Nissenson. I'm a nephrologist, an emeritus professor of medicine at UCLA, and currently chief medical officer for DaVita, which is one of the large providers of dialysis services in the U.S. I'm a past president of the Renal Physicians Association and involved in measure development as part of that organization. In addition, I'm immediate past president of Network 18, our end-stage renal disease network council, which is a CMS council that oversees quality in dialysis facilities. And finally, have for a number of years worked in disease management for kidney disease, diabetes, and congestive heart failure. My only disclosure is that potentially measures that are endorsed by NQF could be adopted by CMS as pay-for-performance for either dialysis facilities or nephrologists, so that's a potential conflict in the future.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. Dr. Swagler?
Hi. I'm a full-time practicing family physician in a small group outside of Fort Worth called North Hills Family Medicine. It's we have six partner physicians, six extenders at two different sites, and so I practice in an urban setting. My interest has always been in a preventative style of medicine. I have been actively involved in trying to get family physicians, NCQA, recognized in diabetes care, and I re-upped my own recognition last year. I'm past president of the Texas Academy of Family Physicians and actively involved in the American Academy, and I'm representing the American Academy at this forum. I am currently participating in measures, actually in an episode-based sort of cost evaluation for the American Board of Medical Specialties under a grant from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, specifically revolving diabetes care.
So okay, great, thanks.
Conflict. I've been involved with NQF once previously in measures endorsement for around stroke. There were no actually primary measures submitted. Those were all secondary measures and had to do with the speech impediments or speech impairments related to stroke as well as acute stroke care in the hospital.
Great. Thank you for joining us again. Is there anyone else on the line? Okay, we're a cozy group. What we're going to try to do today is provide an orientation to NQF, an orientation to this project, talk about the role of this particular group, and elicit your help as we're beginning our work. We need some input from you. For those of you who are signed on to the webinar, Alexis is showing the slides. We sent them to you, so you have your own set, but they are up on the webinar, so if you'd like to follow along, you've got two avenues of doing it. So, Alexis, move on to the next one, please. Okay. For those of you, I think most of you are familiar with NQF. Just wanted to bring you up to date. We are a private nonprofit organization. We have more than 400 members now. NQF has grown considerably over the last several years. We are organized into eight stakeholder councils. All of our members fit into one of those councils, and they really run the spectrum of stakeholders. So we've got purchasers and consumers and plans and researchers and providers and professionals and community health. So we've got a whole wide variety of folks within our membership, and the membership keeps growing quite significantly. Our structure is also evolving. The board of directors oversees everything. The work of NQF has become quite large, and so a subcommittee of the board called the Consensus Standards Approval Committee has taken over the board's role of evaluating measures for the final endorsement. So they are an important part of this process, and we'll describe that a little bit more later. A very important part of the work that NQF is doing is as one of 32 members of the National Priorities Partnership, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that is. And then we also have a leadership network that consists of all of the council chairs and vice chairs of those eight member councils that help guide and provide input into all of the work that we do. So NQF has become quite a large organization and with a lot of different elements to it. I'd like to invite you all to go to our new website at www.qualityforum.org. This is just a static screenshot of the home page, but there are several things that I'd like to point out to you and show you that what could be useful as you monitor what's going on at NQF as well as with this project. If you notice the sort of yellow box on the right, this is an area where you can enroll to have your own account. And absolutely anybody is welcome to enroll and have an NQF account. And so I really encourage you to do that because you can create your own dashboard of things that interest you about NQF so that when you log in, the things that you'd like to follow and be most readily interested in, you can follow quickly without navigating throughout the whole site. But other things that you may be of interest in the green bar across the middle, setting priorities. There's further information about the national priorities and the link to the National Priorities Partnership. So that's just additional information there. The second area under measuring performance, if you the drop-down menu will lead you to the consensus development projects. And this project that we're talking about today is one of those projects. And so you'll be able to get to the web page for this particular project. And all of the information about this project, all the documents, all the transcripts, all the recordings are posted there and available for public view. So the website has become very much more user-friendly and much more functional, and it contains just about everything we do to maximize and foster our transparency agenda. So please check it out whenever you can. Next slide. Just again, every organization has mission and strategic goals. I just wanted to point out that we are this effort is focusing in on our second goal, which has really been the majority of NQF's work historically, and that's around endorsing national consensus standards for measuring and publicly reporting on performance. And so this is, again, more along that line. Although we are informed certainly by the work on our other mission arms, particularly around setting the national priorities. Next one. Oh, good. Our strategic goals, I'll let you read yourself, but NQF, again, has grown in stature and involvement in so many different activities. Our leadership under Janet Corrigan over the last 4 years, NQF has really matured into a large organization at this point with a lot of different activities and goals going on. Next slide. The growth of endorsed NQF measures over the past 9 years has been quite significant. We now have in our database more than 500 endorsed measures. One of the tools that's also on our website is a search tool where you can search for the endorsed measures. At this point, it's a keyword search. However, we are looking to enhance it with some specific filters that will make it easier to look for certain different types of measures, and you can expect to see that in the near future. But NQF's growth of measures, there's been just a great need out there in the marketplace for endorsed measures, measures needed for a lot of incentive programs. Certainly the federal government, CMS, has been a big participant there, but as well as a lot of other private players and health systems. We've addressed specific gap areas where measures had not been many, particularly at the individual physician level. Now that comprises a large percentage of our portfolio. We're also interested in measures that are disparity sensitive. We also have looked at measures around patient experience with care in multiple settings, many of the CAPS instruments, but also several others. And we've also looked at cross-cutting areas around things like medication management, healthcare association, associated infections. So NQF has kind of sliced and diced the healthcare system in many ways, whether it's condition, whether it's setting, whether it's level of analysis, to look at these measures to meet the various needs in the marketplace. But certainly after 9 years of work, there are several key issues for this very large portfolio, and the question is, you know, do we have too many measures, too few measures, or do we have the right measures in the portfolio? So a lot of our ongoing work is reassessment of what are the current use of measures, what are the current needs for measures as this whole enterprise evolves and goes forward. Other issues that we've dealt with our availability of data sources, and so we deal with similar measures based on, say, chart review versus those based on claims data. So data sources becomes a critical enterprise. But also, we have a growing department within NQF around health information technology led by Floyd Eisenberg, and we are involved in a lot of work, particularly with the federal government, in trying to foster transition to electronic health records, particularly EHRs that will be able to do the measurement that we're looking at. So we are in the process of retooling a lot of the endorsed measures to have e-specifications so that they can be implemented in the electronic health record world. And our previously endorsed diabetes measures fall into that category. So there's just a lot of things going on at NQF as part of the evolution. And so why are we doing all of this? Well, most of it, vast majority of it, is driven by feedback from all of our various members, stakeholders, and the overall environment. But there is generally a collective drive towards higher performance. There is an increasing shift towards composite measures or interest in composite measures. We need to consider measuring disparities in everything that we do. A big issue that we're having to grapple with is harmonization of measures across sites and providers. Measuring the same care concept in different settings, somehow the measures all seem to be just similar but just a little bit different, and it really impedes widespread implementation. So harmonization is an important aspect of a lot of the work that we do, and we'll be talking about it as we look at measures in this project. And also the whole concept of promoting shared accountability and measuring across patient-focused episodes of care. And I'm just going to break out a couple of these concepts a little bit for a little bit of detail. But within this concept is the idea of outcome measures. There has certainly been an evolving willingness to look and develop outcome measures, to use outcome measures, and be measured by outcome measures. Certainly that's been a profound observation of mine over the last 9 years working here at NQF. Other areas we need to look at are appropriateness measures, as well as cost resource use measures coupled with quality measures, which would provide efficiency measures. So there's just a whole lot of elements going on. Details around disparity measurement. It's important, particularly in outcome measures, not to bury potential disparities issues in risk adjustment methodologies. And we do need better methods for collecting the data that we need to be able to stratify measures by disparities characteristics. And so we really are looking at each measure to see if there is a disparity sensitivity about the measure. So that's another one of the evaluation criteria that we'll be asking you to consider. I mentioned previously the patient episodes of care. It's been a project that's been worked on here at NQF over in our sort of a slightly different area as NQF is growing. And this is the development of the episode framework. I've gone to conferences myself and found people presenting NQF's bubble diagrams. Well, this is a bubble diagram, and we've made these bubble diagrams for a variety of conditions, and this is the one for acute MI, and it looks at the various aspects of acute MI over an episode, different patient trajectories, different risk pooling. And this is just a more broad way of looking at what a patient experiences with an acute MI and how all of these steps and stages interact with one another and where potentially we can intervene and change either trajectories or change the size of the bubbles and ultimately measure what happens to a patient, particularly with a chronic illness. Next slide, Alexis. I mentioned the national priorities. The National Priorities Partnership of 32 organizations has been working over the last 2 years to identify some overarching objectives, the big picture the national priorities and goals that if we all coalesce behind these particular priorities, we're likely to make greater strides in improving quality. And you'll see that these are very cross-cutting issues, engaging patients and families in their health care and making decisions, improving health of the population, improving patient safety and reliability of the healthcare system, care coordination across all provider settings and levels of care, compassionate and end-of-life care, and then a limiting waste while ensuring the delivery of appropriate care. And so how do we put all these pieces of thinking together? Next slide. This is the priorities overlaying the episodes. And you can see that we're trying to look at patient care from the patient's perspective and where are the potential leverage points that measurement can help us understand what's going on with the health of both the population as well as individuals with certain disease conditions and how these at quality can impact the progression through the episode of care or the trajectory that a patient takes. So it's getting rather complicated, but these are the kinds of synergies that NQF is looking to identify and helping to focus the measure portfolio to maximize the goals and priorities around these areas. So I'm just going to take a brief moment, and is anybody having comments or questions on the things I've talked about so far? That's sort of been NQF big, and now we're going to move into the project-specific stuff.
Well, I do have a comment. This is Richard Hellman. One of the things that we certainly struggle with a lot, and we heard that at the NCQA meeting, the panel meeting, as well as at PCPI, is how we can be sure that we can do what we do fairly, keeping in mind that risk adjustment, which you talked about, something of which Shelley Greenfield is an acknowledged world expert, is something that's difficult to do and often seems to be sidestepped. And yet to do the things that you want to do, look at the disparities issues and the like, and to deal with comorbid conditions, it's absolutely essential.
Right.
And the other thing of making sure we don't fall into the trap of just measuring and not really improving quality of care. And I think it's a struggle where I don't know anyone has the answers. And I'm glad to hear that everyone's thinking about it.
Right. Yes. I mean, I think the challenge and for me the fun of this whole thing is the fact that it's not easy. And we really do have to think creatively and think through some of these rather very, very complicated issues. So that's what you've volunteered to work with us in helping deal with some of these thorny ones. Any other comments or questions? Okay. This particular project is what we call the Patient Outcomes Project. This is funded by the Department of Health and Human Services. NQF has been awarded a 4-year contract from HHS that has a wide variety of activities within this contract. This is only one of a whole myriad of tasks that we're going to be doing for HHS, but certainly outcomes is a very important element of this work for the government. You hear a lot of talk among the health reform discussions about needing to monitor outcomes, and outcomes are important in how we will evaluate the healthcare delivery system. So here we are. We sort of are carrying the outcomes part of that discussion. Clearly, because it is coming from the federal government, there is a focus on the top 20 Medicare conditions. These are the big cost volume drivers. We were able in our agreement with them to expand a little bit around those conditions, so I'll tell you a little bit how we did that. One of the things that is very apparent, we knew this going in, it's become very apparent as the project progresses, is that there's a wide variation availability of existing outcome measures depending on these conditions. we seem to have a large number, a plethora of measures around heart disease or certain cardiovascular conditions. We've got a few around pulmonary conditions. We've got some around diabetes. We've got nothing around some of these, like the arthritis conditions and some of the GI conditions. So there's a real unevenness and in terms of outcome measures across these desired topic areas. So this project actually has two parts to it. But the primary purpose is to expand NQF's current portfolio of outcome measures. And it was very fascinating to me at the beginning of this project. I went through the 500 measures, and I identified almost 200 measures endorsed by NQF that are outcome measures. So it's not that this is new at all, but it's certainly a focused look and trying to expand our portfolio of outcome measures in the area that HHS is particularly interested in. Next one. So the outcomes project is rather large, and we've broken it down into phases which have no meaning other than just workflow management for us internally. So as you can see, we're going to be looking at some cross-cutting measures. These really have no specific condition associated with them. We've looked at pulmonary measures. Those include asthma, COPD. We got some very nice intensive care unit measures that came in for that. Cardiovascular, the usual players. This group is a combination of diabetes and chronic kidney disease. We couldn't have 24 different taps, so we tried to put topic areas that had some relationship together for basically efficiency of project work and management as well as resource use. So as you can see in phase two, we're going to be looking at the arthritis, the osteoporosis, the hip fracture. There aren't a lot of outcome measures in those topic areas. Cancer is another highly important, high visible area, and the five leading causes of cancer, but again, not a lot of outcome measures in that area. GI biliary, looking at cholecystitis, GERD, and ulcer disease, again, not a lot of outcome measures. Infectious disease, UTI, pneumonia, not a lot there. Eye care and glaucoma, we've already endorsed a couple of measures in that area. So very, very uneven in terms of the current or existing outcome measures. Phase three is where we went off into slightly different topic areas. Phase one and two are pretty traditional medical conditions. There are eight TAP technical advisory panels supporting the various conditions, and all of them are advisory to the main steering committee. The main steering committee, like all NQF steering committees, are comprised of a representation of the multi-stakeholder membership. They act as a proxy for that membership, and so the work that you're doing will be to advise them. In phase three, Alexis, go back just a sec. In phase three, both the mental health and child health was an area that NQF asked HHS to add, which they agreed to, these have their own steering committees because the topic areas are really fairly discrete and separate. So the crossover is relatively minimal, and so they will be working on a parallel time frame. So there are really three steering committees for this large project and eight technical advisory panels. Okay, next. Okay, the project goals. We really have two goals, and the first one's pretty straightforward NQF, and that is to identify, evaluate, and endorse additional outcome measures that are suitable for public reporting as well as quality improvement and around these topic areas that have been identified. So that's the very straightforward part of this project. But equally important is looking at the gaps in existing outcome measures and recommend potential outcome measures to fill those gaps. There are a lot of folks that are particularly interested in these gaps analysis. HHS, when I have my biweekly calls with them about this project, are very interested in this aspect of it because they are certainly in a position to assign or enlist the assistance of the various agencies within the federal government to do outcome or to do measure development, and having a very focused agenda to help fill these gaps is a high priority for HHS. So this project really has two parts to it, and you're going to find that actually for this particular TAP, we've got We've already endorsed a large number of outcome measures for diabetes. The only measure submitted to date is for diabetes. So that's on one side of the spectrum. However, when it comes to chronic kidney disease, we really have no outcome measures endorsed for chronic kidney disease. We've had none submitted. So we really are probably going to be focusing far more on the second bullet point when it comes to chronic kidney disease. So this group has really got the two extremes. So let's move on to the next slide. Just to kind of go over NQF's approach to any project around developing consensus is the fact that our process is a very formal one. It is endorsed by the board of directors. It's not something we can change willy-nilly. All of the projects try to attend to the overall strategy for measuring and reporting. That's why we need to keep in mind what's going on with the national priorities, what's going on with the health information technology, what's going on in the patient safety world, and keep all of these things in the forefront of our thinking. It's very much one of the foundational values of NQF is the multi-stakeholder participation among our membership, among all of our projects, and among all of our committees. The technical advisory panels typically are not that way. We are bringing in content experts to help support and advise the steering committee who does represent that multi-stakeholder membership. A relatively unique aspect of NQF is the fact that we have public as well as private sector representation on our board of directors. So these are just kind of the whole, what's unique about NQF. Sounds like somebody had a question. Anybody? No? Okay, Alexis next. So just in a schematic, this is how we're going to go through the steps of the consensus development process. We've already gone through the specific project topics. The steering committee has been established. You represent the technical advisory panel aspect. Your work in evaluating the measures and making recommendations on to fill the gaps will be provided to the steering committee. The steering committee is the decision-making body. They will make their recommendations to the membership in a form of draft recommendations. Those recommendations go out for public comment and NQF member review. Revisions to those recommendations may be made based on the comments. This is all done at the steering committee level. Occasionally, if there's something technical, it may come back to a question to a technical advisory panel. But after review and revision based on public comment, the draft consensus standards are for NQF member voting. The results of the voting and any comment that came in during voting is taken to the Consensus Standards Approval Committee, who does an intensive review of the process and the measures from sort of the big picture level and act on behalf of the board. The board then ratifies those actions. They're endorsed as voluntary consensus standards, and then there's a 30-day appeals period afterwards for those endorsed measures. So this is the formal consensus development process that you're going to be working with us, and we will be going through the steps of this for the outcome measures in this project. We expect to reach the end of the process with the endorsed measures by the end of next October, November of 2010. The next one. So the role of the TAP in all this, just to go up to get a little more detailed about what we're going to be asking you to do, is to provide the technical input to the steering committee, particularly regarding the sub-criteria in our standard measure evaluation criteria. So we're going to talk about that more in detail in a moment. Dr. Greenfield, as the chair, will sit on the steering committee. And in this particular project, because we have the two particular goals, the TAP will also help the steering committee in suggesting where gaps in important outcome measures are needed. So these are kind of the two main activities we're going to be asking you to do. And in many respects, the second one will probably be the greater amount of the work. Next one. This just outlines what the staff does. It's essentially, we're here to help you and make the work we ask you to do go as smoothly as we can. Next one, Alexis. One of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit, and we, in the materials that were sent to you, were a couple of documents, fairly lengthy. One is the evaluation criteria We're going to go over those in a couple of slides, but you have a, I think it's a 6 or 7 page document that goes into a lot of detail about what we mean by the various criteria. We're charged to use those criteria to really provide the evaluation of the measures. And so these criteria were reevaluated and revised a little more than a year ago now. And so these revised criteria are what NQF have been using most recently. The purpose of the revision of those criteria were to really raise the bar a bit in terms of the work that NQF does. We've been doing work for many years, a lot of different measures, quite a variation in the robustness of the measures within the portfolio, and there was a deliberate effort to focus the criteria to raise the bar a bit, to provide a stronger link to the national priorities and higher level performance measures, certainly a greater emphasis on measure harmonization, greater emphasis on outcome measures, one of the reasons we're here for this project, and for the process measures, a much tighter outcomes process link. So there was a very deliberate effect to change and revise and raise the bar around our endorsement criteria. And you can just see in this next slide sort of the side-by-side comparison of how they changed. So we're going to go through just briefly what each of the main criteria are and the kinds of things that are embedded in each one. Next one, Alexis. All measures that come to NQF, there are a couple of conditions. All measures need to be in the public domain or an intellectual property agreement is signed with us. And that can be a rather interesting exercise. The intellectual property around measures, people have invested a lot in measurement, and that agreement is a real important cornerstone. So it's a condition before a measure even goes forward. We need somebody to act as a steward of the measure who will be responsible for it, to keep it up to date, revise as necessary, and maintain it going forward. The third one I do want to emphasize is one of NQF's very important foundational concepts is that the intended use of a measure must include both public reporting as well as quality improvement. So we are really looking to endorse measures that are suitable for public reporting of performance information, and we should never lose sight of that. Certainly, quality improvement is always the goal, but the public reporting is a critical aspect. This has been a huge discussion point at the Board of the Directors, and they have repeatedly reemphasized that that is NQF's stance in the measurement enterprise. So let's just go through the criteria briefly. Oh, first thing, project timeline. I just wanted to give you a sense of how we're going through this. The TAPs are meeting basically December through March. This group is having this introductory phone call. Depending on some activities that we'll talk about in a minute, you know, our follow-up activities, maybe phone calls or a meeting, just depending on where we end up. The main steering committee will meet again on April 20th and 21st to make the formal recommendations that go forward to the NQF membership for potential endorsement. The comment period is anticipated for June, the voting in August, and the CSAC board ratification by the end of October. So that's the project timeline for the overall project. So when we look at, maybe I should stop. Any questions about the timeline or anything else I've said so far?
Yeah, this is Shelley. This is a very frustrating call for me because it seems like the NQF group is raising the standards and getting broader and broader and more gaps. And it turns out it just exposes how little research and implementation, a la Richard's comment earlier, there is to support anything. And diabetes has the most, but look at kidney disease, look at hip replacement.
Right.
So if there's no coordination between comparative effectiveness research and no coordination between comparative research and clinical practice guidelines and no harmonization of clinical practice guidelines, what can these NQF committees do that isn't already being done? And if there's insistence on public reporting, which is fine with me, how can you report, as Rich pointed out, how can you report an outcome that is where the attribution to the physicians is not clear, where the time between the process and the outcome is not clear, when the case mix is not good, et cetera, et cetera. Aren't you setting yourselves up for more and more trouble?
Well, one of the reasons that the process seems so cumbersome is that we are trying to address a lot of those issues in all of the criteria. That's why we are trying to, you know, get as you know the input from the technical advisors, those with the clinical
expertise. But you can't get it if they don't do it.
No, but at the same time, you can tell us that it doesn't exist.
All right. Well, that's a role. Okay.
Okay. So I mean, we are trying to come up with what is the current status? What are the next steps going forward? It is meant to be challenging. Deliberately. So you are going to help advise us on, you know, these kinds of issues that need to be considered to help us understand what it is that needs to come first, or what can we do, what can't we do, why can't we, and things like that. In terms of outcome measures, like I say, NQF certainly has a wide experience with outcome measures. We've endorsed a lot of them. And you'll see that the evaluation criteria does address things like the appropriate risk adjustment.
Yeah, but who tests those? When? How do they? We can't advise on them if they're not there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The ones that are submitted to be evaluated, you do have that information.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's probably why there's so few submitted, because people.
Yeah.
Which actually, to me, this is Shelley again, that's fine, because I think inevitably being conservative about quality is probably a good idea.
Yeah. But I think there is a fairly strong desire out there to know where should we be putting resources to developing measures and pushing the agenda forward so that we do get more outcome measures, particularly in areas where there aren't any.
I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
This is Rich Hellman again. I just finished writing some edits on a chapter I'm doing on an area called diabetes and depression, and that I hope will be in an international text next year. And that is an example of an issue where a comorbid condition greatly changes what the outcomes will be.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the NCQA PCPI panel on diabetes is considering finding a way of putting in a measure that will allow us to look at that, because just as the cardiologists have found that depression really gums up the works in cardiac outcomes if you don't deal with it, it's true for diabetes. And it is, by the way, also true for chronic kidney disease, and in that case, the problem with cognitive dysfunction is even more of a big time problem. What Shelley was talking about, and the way I would reframe it, is as the science advances, we see more and more situations where things are not entirely what they seem, and the need to do risk stratification, comorbid balancing carefully, and look at the evidence and be humble enough to realize that sometimes what we think we're doing is not exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the best way of figuring that out is to actually test a measure.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding that it's always a shifting sands, a pathway which is not clear. And what I'm concerned with, I don't want NQF to go, because I think you've done really a fine job in so many areas, is to move away from sticking to the science a little bit, to allow us to ferret out some of these intricacies which play a major role in both the cost equation as well as the physical outcomes, the hard clinical outcomes, the death, the disability, the complication rate. And I think it's really important from my standpoint to make the case that we need to be humble. Just because someone wants another 20 measures doesn't mean that quite frankly, the provider community is smart enough to have really gotten all the science out to make one that will be that will be good. And I think I'd like to hear more discussion of the dialogue of what we don't know, where we're learning, and for us to be conservative and stick to what we do know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that in this case, certainly that will be the appropriate thing for you to do in the evaluation of submitted measures. The evaluation criteria, I think, how you apply them is certainly based on your own expertise and knowledge, and that's what we're counting on, and that's what we're hoping you will bring to the table. I think that for the more gaps part, the kind of what should outcomes be, I think that that's a little bit more sort of open-ended. I think we need to kind of look at the steering committee's framework, if you will, around the types of outcome measures, because a lot of the outcomes that people are looking at are not just the more traditional ones of morbidity or mortality, but are things around functional status, are things around patient self-management, patient behaviors, patient adherence to care. Some of it is patient safety type issues, and some of it are adverse outcomes. So the whole concept of outcomes is relatively broad. And again, all of these outcome measures are not necessarily going to be appropriate to measure at individual clinician levels, and some of them may only be appropriate for either conceptual reasons or certainly for statistical reasons in much larger levels of analysis, such as large groups or health systems or plans or something like that. All of these are the kinds of characteristics of each measure that needs to be carefully evaluated. In terms of test results, certainly one of the evaluation criteria, and we'll go over them briefly, address what those results of testing are. And frankly, there have been recently a lot of discussion at the board of directors to talk about NQF not endorsing particularly outcome measures or composite measures that have not been thoroughly tested, that we do have results that we can look at and see how the measure performed.
Now, Rita, this is Shelley again. If the board is considering that, then it has to take some of the grant money that you got from HHS and put it into actually testing those measures. A fine example of is the one submitted from ICSI on the composite measure.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be wrong with spending some money over a period of a year to do a thorough test of that composite or something like it, because you can't. There's no more talk about it. We can't endorse it without more information.
Right, but I think one of the things we need to find out more about is to the degree that this measure has been tested or is currently in use, which it is. So, I mean, I think there may be additional information that's there, but we can certainly continue to talk about these aspects of it. But for the most part, measures that are fully developed coming to NQF should have gone through a certain degree of testing already. We've gone through this flutter where a lot of process measures were endorsed without testing. That has led to any number of issues of their own. I think we want to avoid that on the outcome measures, which is why the board sort of had the discussion.
Sure.
Having the discussion it's having. And frankly, most risk-adjusted measures, you can't even develop the risk adjustment, certainly the regression-type models, without both the test population and the model populations and things like that. So they do tend to have a lot more experience behind them. But we'll have to take each one as it comes.
All right. There were some other people that had some comments.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, I certainly have one, and I am supportive of what just talking about. One of the beauties of doing the testing is you often get a hint as to the fact that the unexpected result may indicate a confounding variable that you just hadn't considered.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of them that are clinically important that we need to account for, because some of the studies that were negative on some improvements that should have worked have been in retrospect just due to exactly that. So the testing advances both our understanding and makes something fairer and more useful for public reporting and for quality improvement.
Right. Okay. Anything else? Any other comments? going to say, Erica or Keith, do you have anything you wanted to add?
No, not really. I mean, again, in family medicine, because we're impacted almost across the spectrum of measures, we're very interested in the measure of harmonization and not having a whole variety of different standards out there, but, you know, also cognizant then that in some of these places where measures don't exist, are they going to pick on sort of minutiae that will make it very difficult for the practicing family physician to try and, you know, meet across measure sets?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, I'm very, you know, very concerned about that. Certainly want things clinically relevant and proven, but, you know, I'm here because I think we need to be held accountable for some outcomes, and hopefully, again, that will help drive changes in the payment structure.
Great. Somebody else comment?
I don't have any comments at this time. I'm enjoying the discussion, though.
Okay, great. Dr. Nissenson, anything from you?
I just want to reinforce something I think Shelley mentioned a little while ago, which is the dilemma we're going to have as we attack CKD.
Mm-hmm.
A massive lack of evidence
to
come up with measures that can be supported either for public reporting or for other purposes. So I think that we're going to have a big why I think...
I keep losing you.
Yeah, I can't hear him either.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, let me... Is this better?
Yeah, that sounds better.
John, speaker. What I was saying is I just want to reinforce Shelley's comment about the lack of evidence in CKD
mm-hmm.
and the fact that this is going to be a tremendous challenge, and I think it's reflected, again, by the fact that there have been no measures submitted because people really don't base those on evidence, not on speculation.
Sure. Okay, but again, your expertise is what we're hoping to be able to relay that message. You know, what can we do, what can't we do?
Yep. No, I understand.
Okay. Anybody
here? This is Karen.
Oh, great. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I don't have any comments right now aside from saying yes. I'm following this discussion closely. I apologize for being late.
Thank you, Karen, very much. Would you like to just briefly introduce yourself to your colleagues? We did that with everybody at the beginning, as well as any disclosure of any involvement in measures.
This is Karen Pitzner. I'm Chief Science and Practice Officer at the American Association of Diabetes Educators. I apologize again for being late to this call. It's my first participation in the work group, and I'm very excited about it. My only participation in measures is through my current employment and the things that we're trying to do to work with other groups to advance the measurement for diabetes and diabetes education.
Thanks. Did anybody else join the call? Okay. So, anything else new? Okay. So, continue on with our slides just to be sure we have all the ground rules. We're using Donna Bedian's definition of outcome referring to changes both desirable or undesirable in individuals or populations that are attributed to health care. So that's sort of our starting position. We can skip this one. Alexis, go down to the next one. So we will be evaluating measures, and as I mentioned, so far to date, we've really had, for this group, only one measure submitted. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the measures NQF has already endorsed, and in the area of diabetes, we've already endorsed a fair number of them, certainly more than any other area except heart disease. And so the question is, you know, are there other types of outcome measures, not necessarily additional numbers if we've already got, you know, reasonable, good ones? The evaluation process for us is limited at this point around a single measure. One of the things I'm asking you as members, with your expertise, your involvement in the field, is are you aware of any outcome measures for either diabetes or chronic kidney disease that perhaps we haven't identified, that perhaps they didn't get the message, or that we could encourage to submit to this project? So that's kind of assignment number one for this group, is are you aware of any outcome measures in these areas that perhaps that we could bring into the project that we're not aware of at this point? Go ahead and go on to the next one, Alexis. Just wanted to review very quickly the evaluating the measures. We do have four main criteria. There is importance to measure and report. Sometimes committees get a little bit off track on this one. There are a lot of things out there that are important. There are a lot of things that are important to taking care of patients or to clinical practice, but not everything is important enough such that the information you get from the measurement is worth the resources expended to collect the data and crunch the numbers. So this is a real focused kind of importance that's important to measure and report. In other words, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze. The other is the scientific acceptability of the measure properties. There's a fair number of sub-criteria under this. This is where the precision of the specifications, definitions, this is where reliability testing, this is where validity testing comes in, this is where risk adjustment comes in. Real important aspects of the scientific acceptability of the measure, and we will be relying on you heavily for that. Usability is the information garnered from a measure, is it meaningful to folks? Is it something that can be acted upon? Is it something that various audiences can understand and use? And then feasibility is, can it be done at all? And how costly is it to do around data collection and data crunching? So, Alexis, go to the next one. I don't want to belabor this. I kind of briefly did this. What I'm going to do rather than belabor these slides is I'm going to direct you to the detailed document that we sent you on the measure evaluation criteria. It goes through a lot of this stuff. You can see on importance to measure and report, we're really looking at, is this a priority area or high impact? What's the evidence to support the measure focus? And is there an opportunity for improvement? So, I mean, these are the kind of things that would make the information from measure likely to promote further improvements in quality. Next one. Go ahead and go to the next one. Scientific acceptability, I'd mentioned, these are where you have the specifications, the reliability, validity, the demonstration of comparability if there's more than one data source, as we've seen with some measures. Risk adjustment and exclusions. Clearly, exclusions have been a bit of an issue because often we'll see a measure that's easily done with claims data, but the exclusions require chart review. That makes the measure almost non-feasible. And so exclusions have really become a focus area of evaluation and concern by a lot of stakeholders that they may limit the feasibility of measures, that a lot of little exclusions that don't really add to the outcome of the overall measurement just increase complexity and burden without a great deal of benefit. So we can go in, when we get to actual measure evaluation, we can go into some of the details, but realize that exclusions have been a very big focus and topic of conversation amongst a lot of stakeholder groups around measurement. The next one, usability, as I mentioned, useful for public reporting, so keep that concept in the back of your mind when we're looking at measures. And the next one is feasibility, can we do it without undue burden? Frankly, measures that rely on chart review have pretty much are of historic interest. Very few people are expending the resources to do chart review measures and certainly are looking towards electronic data sources and EHRs to really reduce that burden and make measurement part and parcel of the daily delivery of care. Next one. There are a couple of other methodologic issues around outcome measurements that will need to be focused on depending on the kinds of measures. Risk adjustment is clearly an issue for all outcome measures. For adverse outcome measures, sometimes rare occurrence presents a bit of a problem on the methodology of it. How do you present the data? How do you analyze that data? Time windows are important, especially in chronic disease. You know, outcome when? What are we actually talking about? And there may be some other issues that we'll come across that we'll need to deal with. I think we've talked about some of these. Okay, so the measure evaluation criteria is fairly detailed and laid out. Without measures to evaluate, it's a nice discussion, but it may not be the bulk of what this group does outside the one measure that we've shared with you. That measure is a composite measure, and we will be giving you additional evaluation items for composites as well. One of the things that we do, you have an example of it. The measures are submitted to us electronically. We then merge it into the form that you received that kind of formats it against the measure evaluation criteria. And one of the jobs of this group will be to assign the ratings for all of the sub-criteria for each of those four categories, as well as make any comments about the strengths and weaknesses of the measures. So that's the fundamental job. I hope that we might be able to identify more than the one measure for this group, but perhaps that's all there's going to be.
This is Shelley Riva. I'm actually, after this discussion, in which, as you point out, with these criteria, there is no measure in the world that could pass even half of these criteria, as you know.
Right. Well, so, there are no thresholds for each. These are guidance.
You know, I know. this is quality 101, and yet, I'm actually now happy that there are no new measures, because I don't see if Richard agrees with this. In the diabetes field, which is pretty mature, actually pretty advanced, and I don't know about chronic kidney disease, so I'll speak to diabetes for a second, there are a whole set of issues that could revolve around existing measures that are not done, that are far from being done yet. And Richard and others referred to them, such as basically redoing these measures, dealing with the composite measures, dealing with risk adjustment, dealing with diabetes-specific functional status, dealing with hospital measures, dealing with disparities, dealing with new sources of data. There's a cosmic joke in the ICSI thing where it says aspirin is being used by 94% or something like that. That's because the doctors just check off on the template.
Right.
They check off. They don't have a clue whether these people are taking aspirin or not, because it has to come from the patient.
Yeah.
Exclusions, as you point out, that's a huge issue, and nobody's dealt with even the specs for exclusions, and then, of course, feasibility. So I think if this committee, if this TAP dealt with, how should we say, taking what's out there right now, and I'm curious whether Richard agrees with this, and coming off the PCPI NCQA, and actually spends a year fixing up what is out there right now and making it, you know, next level, instead of fishing around for new measures, I think it will have done a huge job. I don't know if the other members agree with that.
I comment. The only problem I have, and I'm probably generally in agreement with what you say, Shelley, but the science is changing. You know, the diabetes measures, because I was in at the very beginning of that.
Oh, yeah.
They've evolved. The science has changed. We're learning, for instance, that aspirin is less beneficial than we thought.
Absolutely.
And we know that the lowering of the cholesterol level doesn't correlate as well as whether people are on statin drugs in terms of what really helps people.
Yes, yes.
And now with this whole new field of cognitive dysfunction and depression, how it's an unmeasured variable that's really gumming up the works, that's going to probably change things some. And I think as long as NQF understands that you really need to be sensitive to what the facts really are, and so we stick to what the science is, we'll have much better products for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Richard, I agree. I couldn't agree more with what you said, and it corresponds to exactly the way I think about it.
Yeah. Shelley, just to I don't want to extend this, but the one thing is we are currently in internal discussions on how we are going to maybe merge efforts for this project as well as sort of the maintenance, revision, updating of the existing measures. So we're trying to see how those two can work together. So I can have a little bit more details for you at a later date.
Okay. Well, I think from what Richard said and others and what's going on in the, quote, science and so forth, I think this, for diabetes anyway, this is an opportunity to consolidate both, basically, to do update, expand, all the things that need to be done. And we can call them new outcomes, you know. In other words, and so in other words, there's just so much to be done without casting around for things that are even less proven than the stuff we have right now, if I'm paraphrasing Richard correctly.
And I mean, I don't want to waste doctors' time. You know, if the primary care physicians in the United States are filling out measures on diabetes, I want them to be filling out things which in the process of them doing, it really is improving the care of the patient.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're all, I think, interested in.
Sure.
This is Shelley. Unfortunately, Reva, I got to cut off the last because of sort of a semi-patient emergency. So please let me know what the rest of the discussion looks like.
Right, yeah. I mean, we really have very little left. Basically just the slide 39 and asking for help, and I'll be happy to forward that to you.
Great. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Shelley,
very
much. So just again, I want to wrap up and perhaps finish a little bit earlier here, is... as I mentioned, we have two goals for this project. One is the endorsement of measures. The other, however, is identifying the gaps. And the main steering committee has already had one two-day meeting, and they've started developing a framework on what are outcome measures, what are the outcomes of interest to a variety of stakeholder audiences. And this, slide 39, looks at the types of outcome measures that the steering committee felt are particularly important. The first one is patient function, symptoms, health-related quality of life, both the physical, mental, and social. This is sort of the functional status. These actually are very important elements of for patients. You know, yes, it's great if the, you know, the operation is successful, but will I be able to play golf next Tuesday? I mean, it really is very patient-oriented, and we have very, very few outcome measures in this area, except for some functional status measures around, like, some of the physical therapy, occupational therapy realms. Another type of outcome measure is the more traditional intermediate clinical outcomes, and that's where we have a fair number of them in diabetes. These are the physiologic or biochemical markers that we know are related to long-term outcomes. These are in the intermediate stage. The next group of outcome measures are the experience with care, the knowledge, understanding, motivation. These are behavior changes, and that includes adherence to medication or treatment regimens. So these are other kinds of outcomes that are important in understanding how well, how good the quality of care is being delivered. The next group are healthcare service utilizations as a proxy for an outcome. For instance, these are visits to the emergency room, hospitalizations or readmissions after a hospitalization. These are the kinds of things that perhaps with the best coordinated care will occur minimally. The next group are non-mortality but morbidities associated to disease management and treatment. Sort of the classic example in diabetes is rates of amputation from vascular disease, sorts of things. The next area, next type of outcome measure are healthcare acquired adverse events or complications, except for death, of course. But so these are the adverse outcomes, if you will. The steering committee was focused around safe and healthy living environment as an outcome measure. I need to get them to explain what they mean a little bit more about that. But then the last one, of course, is the classic mortality as an outcome measure. So we're looking at outcomes not in a narrow of lens, but rather a large one. And as I said, two parts to this project are to identify what would be good types of outcome measures, looking at this framework and saying, you know, for patients with diabetes and for patients with chronic kidney disease, what would be the type of functional outcome measures that would provide meaningful information about the quality of care provided? And this is where we're going to be relying on your expertise. So let's take a look at the next slide, and this is our current endorsed measures within this framework. And these are only around diabetes because, as I previously said, chronic kidney disease, there's nothing. So under patient function symptoms, we don't have anything. Under the adverse events or complication, we don't have anything. And under mortality, we don't have anything. For a chronic disease like this, mortality probably doesn't make a lot of sense, which is why other outcome measures are necessary. However, we do have several measures around medication adherence, for patients with diabetes, and here's one for chronic kidney disease as sort of a combined measure. These are recently endorsed in our medication management project, and these are the medication possession ratio or adherence for ACE and ARBs, and then for statin therapy, and then for there's a whole a measure on groups of medication adherence for diabetics. So that's a type of outcome measure, and it looks, you know, we've got that box fairly well filled. I'm sure there are other measures, but certainly we've already got some. Go back, yeah. Under healthcare utilization, the proxy, these are the short-term complications. This is an ARC measure. It's one of the prevention quality indicators, and these are hospitalizations for what are potentially preventable. So I put it under that, as opposed to the other ARC PQI on long-term complications. It was arbitrary which category I put it in. And then the lower extremity amputations, as I mentioned. So we do have some outcome measures around some of these areas. And then the last one, Alexis, I think, is which one? Okay, and here's where we have a goodly number of measures around the intermediate clinical outcomes. We have the hemoglobin A1C. We've got the less than 8 and the greater than 9. We've also got the LDL measurement, less than 100 and less than 130. And then we've got the blood pressure measurement, less than 140 over 80. So these are kind of measures that have been around a long time. We've seen them. We've known them. These are all NCQA and the PCPI are the stewards for these measures. I've been talking with them, and I know about the recent discussions, revisions, updates, and we're trying to keep everything aligned. The only submitted measure we have for this project to date is a measure from the Minnesota Community Measurement, which is an all-or-none composite measure of what they call optimal diabetes care, and I've put the specs out there for you. So essentially, what I hope we've done for you today is sort of give you an outline of what N2F is up to, what this project is all about, and really we're asking for your assistance at this point in time in two particular areas. One is, do you know of any additional measures that we should consider in this project? And two, begin thinking about your particular area, whether it's diabetes or kidney disease, along this framework of potentially the kinds of measures that would be useful to explore for development. What would a functional status for a patient with chronic kidney disease, what would an outcome measure of function look like? Can you envision it? What other types of measures might be appropriate? So those are the kinds of things to begin this project and to begin this work. And so at this point, I'll just see if anybody has any questions or comments.
This is Keith Campbell. I have to go to a budget meeting here in a minute, but one of the things with when I was with the Diabetes Control Projects and the Center for Disease Control that I've been recommending for years, and it was never possible to do, and I'm wondering if maybe this group might want to consider it. In England and Germany, their outcomes of care for people with diabetes are supposedly twice as good as they are here in the United States, according to the ADA about 13 years ago. And one of the things they have that we don't have is a registry. So if a person develops diabetes, they go into a health county registry, and then they are contacted, which then allows gathering of data to be quite a bit easier than under the system we have here. And I'm wondering if that is something that that we should consider, at least a voluntary one. That the Frank Vinicor said, well, you know, because of confidentiality, that would probably never fly here in the United States. But when I've talked to diabetes patients about it, many of them would love to be on a registry that would allow information to come down to them and from them back that would help make sure the numbers are greater than we have now, and also gathering data that would be of value. So,
okay, I'll take note of that.
A comment on that: there are a number of specialty societies, American College of Physicians, the Thoracic Society, the Orthopedists, and a number who are actually have a robust registry, and there are more societies that are very much interested in it for quality improvement purposes. So I think that's a key idea. The question really is who pays the bill? And along those lines, I just wanted to comment that in 1997, we published the results of a 15-year study in which we showed that we could reduce death rates and kidney failure rates in diabetics on an outcome study with a coordinated program, something that's been done since by others in other countries. But the key to doing that was, if you want to look at the outcomes like renal failure, like death rates, like some of the more complex conditions, you really have to be patient. You have to do it right with comorbidity analysis and demographic stratification and wait for the outcome that you want. At that time, in 1997, there was no appetite for doing measures which did that, and that's why we started focusing on these intermediary outcomes or process ones, because people weren't interested. If there is an interest in those kinds of outcomes, I'm all in favor of it. I'd be very supportive. But there are some criteria that are necessary to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why I think that helping to forward the agenda for measure development is really only the first step of ultimately having people who are well-versed in measure development and developing good outcome measures that are appropriately risk-adjusted, you know, is we're just trying to do the first sort of step on, you know, what would be a good one to begin work on and encourage that development process going forward. Any other comments or questions?
This is Erica Swegler. I'd have another comment, too, and I think what the one gentleman said, and I'm afraid I don't remember everybody's name through voice recognition at this point, but was that I think it'd be an ideal time to look at existing measures, particularly if there's only one measure submitted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to see how we can work that out with some of the other NQF activities and see what's appropriate. We've got some timing issues, and we've got just some of the other things, but certainly because the one submitted measure is a composite measure, and it's a composite of the other outcome measures, we'll have to look at things like alignment, we'll have to look at appropriateness of, you know, in terms of where we are, where does the literature say we are, and so we can't avoid looking at the others, but the degree of to what degree we're going to do that, I think I need to discuss internally a little bit more.
And I would also say, you know, anything that can be done with the NQF as well behind it, trying to insist that that when people are buying their EHR, that these things are embedded in there, and not that I actually have to pay an additional $100,000 or $60,000 or whatever it might be a year to be able to get the outcomes measure evaluation in the EHR that I have, you know, is critically important. I don't think most people are aware when they're purchasing it that it is not embedded.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it embedded at no additional cost, particularly for, you know, family physicians, many of whom are in smaller settings, is of critical importance in trying to move the quality piece forward.
Yeah, let me see if I can, you know, touch base with Floyd Eisenberg, and I'm sure they're thinking along those lines. I just can't give you the where they are, but I know that's a big issue over there. Otherwise, I think I've pretty much rounded up what I wanted to do today. Clearly, we're asking for your help. Please let Alexis or me know if you've got an idea of a measure, if you've got some thoughts around the gaps thing. Keep a piece of paper handy and doodle at will when your thoughts are in this so that we can capture them. We will certainly have a follow-up meeting of this group, whether it's going to be a conference call or two or whether we'll have an in-person meeting, frankly, is going to depend on whether we get any additional measures, whether and how we envision the amount of work. Was it worth bringing you all to Washington, or is it something we can do over a phone call or a series of phone calls as just a better use of all of our time? So Alexis will keep you posted on that as we decide going forward. But if there are not any other questions or comments, I think we're going to close for today. Anybody still there, or have I bored you completely?
Still there. Happy holidays.
All right, everybody. Thank you all very much for your time, and we will definitely be in touch. And have a good holiday for everyone.
Thank you.